Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to our internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to challenge you, to encourage you to be all you could be. We have a special program today to honor our Father, our Heavenly Father, as well as our Earthly Father here. And we want to just reflect on some of the things that they embedded in our life, you know, that made us the man and who we are today. And I spoke earlier with our guest that's on the line now. If our Father did too much of this or too much of that, it teaches us not to do those things there. And those things there are what makes us the man that we are today. I'd just like to just take a moment here. We'll play a little audio clip, and then we'll get back with you with our guest that's on the line now.
Something that you probably never hear men say, because some men are not articulate enough to say it, some are not thoughtful enough to speak it, and most are too private to admit it, but it is real hard to be a man. But just let me tell you, just so no offense, nothing to be. That's why most give up on it, most quit, most faint from it, most fall because of it, and almost all of us die trying to do it. Oh, yes, the devil is out to destroy men. If you look around this room, you will find many saged, aged, gray women. Go to your family reunions and you will see grandmama and big mama and Aunt Kizzy, and they're all standing around in the kitchen talking about, girl, is that chicken done yet? I don't know, mama. Let me turn it over in a minute. Get that bread out the oven before it burns. But have you ever asked yourself, where are grandpapa and big papa and Uncle Willie? What happened to cousin James? What is wrong with our generation that there are few old men left? That means we have few compasses to chart course and to lead us through the maze of trying to get to our destination on time. We have many men who model to us how to get started, but few that live long enough to show us how to finish.
Where are the men in our life here? You know, that is a question that's been ringing through ages and ages. Sometimes I feel like I've grown up by myself. Sometimes I feel like I had nobody to help me navigate through this here society, this wicked and cruel world. But yet, when I look back and think about the goodness of our Heavenly Father, I know I have a Father that sits in heaven and looks over me. I know that I have an earthly Father doing the best he can. This morning, we'd just like to thank you for tuning in to our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside of Minister Lewis. And we have our co-host on the line this morning, Brother Daniels. He's on and waiting in queue, so we're going to bring him forth in just a few minutes. But we also have our guest on the line this morning. This guest here is a very gifted artist. He's a gifted writer. He's a motivational speaker. And he's also a facilitator over at our workshop this year here, Brother Prater. And Brother Prater wrote a book that's very instrumental, a powerful book that he geared up towards fatherhood, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. And we're going to bring him on in a few minutes, and he's going to share some information regarding his book, our book here. And our phone lines are open. The number is 310-982-4126. It's a number that you two can call me to just set up an appointment. But our studio number is 310-982-4126. Again, that studio number is 310-982-4126. And right now we're going to have Brother Daniel going to come on and say hello. Then we'll bring our guest on. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis. How you doing? It's wonderful.
I'm doing great. Welcome to the program. We have our guest on the line here, Brother Prater. And so we're going to bring him in, and he's going to share some things with us, and then we'll come back to you, okay?
Amen. I'm sitting right here. I'm waiting for
him. All right.
Here.
Well, just you kick back and relax and grab a cup of coffee. Good morning, Brother Prater. You're on the net.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing today?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the program. You're no stranger to the program. I am so happy to have you to come on and share your gifting with our listening audience. And I have your book in my hand right now. I'm looking at the cover of it. Now, please introduce yourself to our listening audience that had never heard you before, and tell us about your book and some of the things that geared you up to writing a powerful book like this. I call it a survival manual for men, for fatherhood.
But thank you. I'm honored. as I was at work, for those that don't know, I work in the jail. I work in a Dallas County Jail as one of the guards. And I always wanted to write a book. And as I began to just friend, just talk to God, God told me to look around me, and I saw that there were so many men in jail. And what God showed me was each man in jail represents a home. And if men are the head of the homes, if men are supposed to be the priest of the home, God will let me know that there are so many priests, so many quote-unquote spiritual pastors of the home incarcerated, and their congregation, their family is abandoned, and they have no covering. And so God began to tell me to just start first with the men, the fathers, and help them to understand how much he loved them, who they are, and help them with the self to be able to be the men that God called for them to be the head, and be the covering that God needs for them to be and their families.
Powerful that, brother. Go on.
And you know, the funny thing about it at first, you know how when you're doing what God helps you to do, the devil going to try to bring doubt and discouragement. And at the time, the devil tried to talk to me, oh, how are you going to tell somebody about being a father? You know, you only have one child, and your child 4 years old. You don't know nothing. And when I grew up, I did not have the best grades in school. I was not a reader. I hated my voice, insecure about my voice. And so the devil tried to plant all these seeds of discouragement to make me feel that I was unqualified to write this book. And God spoke up in me and said, number one, I'm not writing a book. I'm getting instructions from God. These are not my words. These are God's words. And also, pray about it. And it gave me the responsibility to pray. It gave me the responsibility to seek God, not my opinions, but God's facts, to be able to help not just the men, but even the women, even the mothers. Because times, excuse me, most of the time, the hurt that transpires in a woman's life, in a mother's life, it comes from a man. It may be the father, it may be the brother, it may be the husband, baby father, whoever. But to try to bring healing back into our homes, into our community, and especially into our churches. So,
amen,
I'm honored. I'm honored.
That is so true. That is so true. You said some things here. And I'm looking at your book right now. We're going to get into your book here. And I'm on the page here that's showing you and your father in 1972. Reflect back on some things like that, because we want to be able to honor our earthly father as well as our heavenly father, you know. So, you know, and it's a challenge for men, because sometimes we come from broken homes. We come from single parents' homes, and we have men that's there, but they're not our biological father, and we wrestle with that. Then we become a parent, and a parent of someone that's not our child. We wrestle with those things that, hey, my dad didn't love me, so I shouldn't love you, you know.
Yeah, you know, even with that picture of my dad, actually, that's my favorite picture of my dad and I. I remember that so plainly. And the funny thing about it was my dad, I've always been close to my dad growing up. I looked up to my dad. And even though my mom and dad got a divorce, I never lost the hope, the honor for my dad. And this is regardless of his behavior, regardless if he wanted to reach out to me or whatever. I just felt the need, no matter what, to always do the right thing. And so one thing my dad have always said growing up was, you know, you kill people with kindness. And also, no matter how somebody act, no matter how somebody treat you, make sure that you put them in God's hand, but you do the right thing yourself. So I have always honored my dad. My dad was able to do so much. He was so gifted, so talented, and he gave me the strength and the ability to feel that no matter what you want to do in life, you can do it. Don't let anything or anybody stop you from doing what you desire to do. And even that being a hope for me to be able to look up to my dad and me doing that, that helped me also to be able to try to be the same way towards my son. The way that I looked up to my dad as a me being a child, me being a son, that made me look at, you know what, live a life where I can have my son to look up to me the way that I looked up to my daddy.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. And we know that in this day and time, it's a different generation, but the principles and
yes,
the precepts
yes.
are the same, to respect your
yes.
elders, leave a legacy that your sons or daughters can build on. And that's important. That's something
mm-hmm.
that we're missing out on. We're not leaving a legacy. We're leaving a lot of bad things that's in, that they are exposed to. You know, we're missing out on some things. And that's the purpose of what we're doing today. That's what we're just kind of recalling some of the things about fatherhood and our dads and our Heavenly Father. And, you know, I'm going to
yes.
I'm going out to the juvenile ministry today. I'm going out to the juvenile center today. And I'm gonna be talking to our young men, and I'm gonna share with them about Father's Day, how important it is, how even our Lord Jesus had a father, but he had a heavenly father, had an earthly father, and he obeyed both of them. Oh, that's a powerful
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Brother Brayden, I can talk to you because you're my friend, but some people don't never realize that that Joseph wasn't Jesus' biological father. We know,
right,
but we don't
right.
think about it. But God gave Joseph authority over his son. The God, the true and living God, gave Joseph authority over his son. And, you know, that's powerful. That means that God entrusted Joseph. God entrusted
yeah.
him. So I got to think about my own father, my stepfather, the men that came in and out of our life, which I only had one stepfather. But God entrusted that man to be over me and my mother and my brothers and sisters. He entrusted him, whether it was good or bad. But he entrusted
right,
him because
right,
he made me
right.
to be the man I am today. And I got to thinking,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
maybe I was wrong about being mad at my stepfather or my father for what they done, because God set this up.
Yes,
and God entrusted
yes,
them.
Yes, yes. And it shows how much God loves you. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention was even in our biological father, did that mean that they were perfect, flawless? No. But what happened, what God began to deal with me on, something my dad had said growing up as a kid, he always said, you can eat the meat and throw the bone away. No matter what type of situation to come, even in with people, being able to look at the good to come out of it, look at the good in a person and kind of get rid of the bad, so that way you can be able to allow those principles to be able to help you. Because a lot of times we learn and it help us to be able to not fall under the same trap of other people. And even with about stepfathers, or what I always call the stepfathers who fill in the role of their biological father, their absentee biological father, I call those stepfathers step-up fathers. And that's one of the roles and responsibility that is so ignored. That's one of the positions that people often overlook. They don't appreciate it. Sometimes they ran over. Sometimes the children don't respect them, give them that respect that they're rightfully due. And to be able to allow somebody under your roof, and you already know that they don't like you, but yet and still, you still show them love. You know, the step-up father, they still show compassion. And they never, it's almost like God gave them extra strength to not give up. And sometimes the children grow up to give more honor to the step-up father than the biological father. I thought about Shaquille O'Neal. He often talked about how he felt like his biological father didn't bother. But yet and still, he acknowledged his own stepfather as his quote-unquote biological father. And it lets you know that not just the step-up father is just some old position that's sleeping with the mother, but that's a ministry. that is actually a ministry to be able to help and instill someone. And you don't have to be related by blood. You don't have to be related by blood, but you could be related by love.
Oh, that's so true. And I got to thinking about, even though our biological father may not be there, we're still able to do the thing that God chose for us to do. Like you was talking about Shaquille O'Neal. It didn't keep him from going to college. It didn't teach him from playing professional ball. And how many of us have been challenged with those things because we feel like that we missed out on something. We feel like that a part of us is missing, but yet God is still able. Oh, brother, you said some things there. We have our co-host here on the line here, and we're going to bring him in. He's going to say a few words, and then we'll get back with you. Amen. We'll listen to Brother Prater here, the author, motivational speaker of a book called A Few Good Men, The Path to Godly Fatherhood. Brother Daniel, you're on the line now. Would you like to make some comments regarding what we just discussed?
Yeah, I'd like to talk. I'd like to make a couple of comments. One of the things I wanted to say that, excuse me, he was saying that all the men that he knew that was incarcerated in jail, they almost like he said they were supposed to be priests of their own homes and priests of their own family, but here they are incarcerated in jail and put in a position that basically sometimes they don't really want to be there, but leading up to circumstances that they are there and not be able to be productive citizens. So there needs to be some kind of way we can start addressing to the youth before they get caught up in this cycle that the cycle of being incarcerated. You know, I saw a study the other day. They say basically all the males almost in America basically have some kind of criminal background nowadays. You know, mostly all men, young black men, basically they have something on their records. They have something that basically that stops them from finding employment. Somebody in their family has been in jail. Somebody, their uncles or their daddy or their brothers. And basically they see this imagery all the way through elementary school, junior high school, and high school. And basically they see all this toughness, this machoism. Basically what I'm saying is they think it's because they don't have nobody to emulate. They don't have anybody to emulate. Everybody, they mostly emulate, mostly the mother. And a mother cannot teach a man how to be a man. And through this emulation of other people that they see, you know, and basically, you know, me and you were talking about yesterday how we were talking about how, you know, we've seen lately that this influx of gang violence has been happening around in Dallas for the last, I would say, about 6 months. You know, there's been a lot of shootings, drive-by shootings. It started coming back again. People attacking each other while they're driving on the road, you know, and it just seemed like everything seemed to be falling apart. But there needs to be
that, Brother Daniel. And I tell you what, we'll let our guests address that. And I understand what you're saying, though, brother. And it's something that we have to put in play. That's why I have a passion and a ministry geared up towards our brothers and sisters. It's called Free on the Inside, which is our title of our show. Because we want to let those men and women know that they could be free just living a life that's pleasing to God. Sometimes we get so caught up in doing our own thing that we feel like that we're God. That we feel like that we are self-made person, and we have to realize that this is God's business. That He's in charge of everything. Brother Prater, as you heard our co-host address some issues there, would you like to chime in on that?
Sure. A lot of times with men, fathers, I think a lot of time we get caught up because we really don't know how to redirect our emotion, express ourselves, and of course, many reasons why people could be incarcerated, especially minorities. It could be because of sometimes their behaviors, their attitude. Sometimes, you know, it's all the conduct. Or sometimes even just being able to, like I said, express themselves, domestic violence, you know. You don't have to you can actually have a conversation regardless if it's of the opposite sex or whatever or whoever. You can have communication with them. You can resolve conflict without anger or physical abuse or stuff like that, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of time we as men, we've never been taught how to properly communicate or express ourselves. You know, sometimes we might have been told that it's unmanly to say that I'm hurt, or you know, I want to cry. It's almost like, well, you know, men don't cry. Suck it up. But yet, and still, we keep that stuff bottled in. And what happened with pressure tire? It'll bust that tire. And think about what they'll do to our emotions. Think about what it does to our blood pressure, our health. So for us to be able to really just get whatever that's in us, get it out, and we can take things that are healthy instead of taking stuff that's killing us, drugs, alcohol, even cigarettes, you know, we don't really talk about how to properly communicate. You know, anytime we want to express ourselves, we feel like we have to curse. We feel like we have to make a person really understand that how we feel, we have to say these explicit words instead of just saying, and even if it helps us to talk with our hands, but we don't have to say these words because, number one, words are seed. Words are powerful. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. And if we just be conscious of that and be able to just admit and just release and, most importantly, give that stuff to God, that can be able to help us as a nation and also for us to be able to share. A lot of times us as men, we don't really share what problems that we had gone through. If you look at the women, when they go through something, if they go through a heartbreak or failed relationship, the women band together. Oh, girl, they help them. They pamper them. How to say girls night out. They take them, get their hair done, get them a nice outfit, and they enjoy fellowship. But us as men, what do? Oh, we go to the bar. We go to the strip club. But we don't do anything to help minister to that person. Emotions, hurt. So a lot of time, if we can just come together as men and be able to, number one, do it in a healthy, positive way, then we could be able to see our world turn right side up, because right now it's upside down.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Now, Brother Daniel, was he able to address some of the issues that you had just brought to the forefront?
I got another question to ask you, Reverend Musa. You know, I know he works downtown and he works at the city. But I'm asking kind of like a personal question.
Yes, sir.
Personally, Brother Price, don't you get kind of tired of seeing those guys come in there like that and seeing the same people coming in every day?
To be honest with you, I don't think about it, because if I do try to think about, then I begin to take it personal, and sometimes you don't know why a person keep coming to jail, and I don't want to put my personal feelings into something that God may try to have me, not just to tell him whatever reason why he's in there, but most importantly, to show him. Because a lot of time, even what we go through, we have many people to tell us what we need to do, but very few people show us what we need to do. So I welcome the challenge. And like I said, I don't take it personal. And I always tell the guys, hey, I'll see you at Walmart. That's my favorite thing I always say when a person leave my presence or whatever. But even when I do release people myself and I walk them outside, I always tell them, do not send your family to church. Take them. So with that, I don't want God to see me as, look like he's taking it personal, or it might be something that God may want to tell me to tell that particular person that might have been in jail, 9 or 10 times or whatever, and if I put my personal feelings in it, then I become opinionated. And so just the same good of forgiveness and the grace God had given me, that's the same thing I need to give to other people. So I really don't think about it.
Oh, that is so true. Yeah. That is so true. And we know it's just like family issues. And, you know, you have a relative that does the same thing all the time. It breaks your heart. But what can you do? Just show them love and kindness and respect to let them see the God in you. Brother Daniel, that was a great question there. That was a great question.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Prater, I was just looking at your book here, brother. We want to get back in there because this is Father's Day weekend, and we go to honor the father, but we also going to encourage the mothers. Because the mothers stayed there and done the thing that when we was out working, when we was out there to call ourselves making a living, and we left the family without a covering for hours and hours. You know, I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she was telling me that whole man was going to be gone to work for 24 hours. I don't know what kind of job he does. I'm not going to even try to relate to that. But I got thinking, in our own life, how often have we just left the family for 24 hours?
Yes,
it may have been necessity, but really, what did we do them a disservice? You know, by cause you know, there was a gap there. That was a breach in the wall for 24 hours.
Yes,
the devil could have snuck
in
and planted a seed in that 24 hours. And we, man, we've been called to breach the gap, to lay a foundation and cover for cracks and things. And so we want to talk about those some of those things. That issued up. Now, your book here, man, I'm always excited about this book. And this is a survival man. A manual for men and fatherhood. And now you have one in here that's very dear to my heart. And I always say a step up father. Because a lot of men, as you stated earlier, let me back this up here. As we grew up, we did not have the foundation it took for us to navigate through society. Says some men's. You know, we didn't have anyone that was teaching us from cradle to adulthood how to manage different situations. As you stated earlier, when we played ball, they said, suck it up. You out there, a lot of men in ball praying, they playing with concussion, and it only reveals itself at the end of their career, you know, because we are men.
Yes.
We can't show any kind of weakness, you know. We didn't have people that when we didn't know anything, we didn't have anybody that we could go to and say, hey, I'm having problems with my car. What do I need to do? You know, we was like, hey, I can fix it. I'm just going to let the car sit out there. I don't want it no more. Let them come pick it up, you know, things like that.
Yes.
Instead of having men to say, hey, son, tell you what you need to do. It's an alternator problem. It's a battery failure or whatever it may be. Other men that have been through those things, they could be our tutor. They could be our guide. And we fail that. We fail to see the value of seeking advice from other men. Let's talk about that.
You know, and
that's very important.
If you don't mind, I'm going to interject something also, what you said earlier about when dad is away, even if he's biologically in the home for 24 hours. Real quickly, even what you were saying about how a lot of time when we're heard or whatever, oftentimes, even when you look at men, most men, we don't ask for direction when we're lost. This is before the GPS system. We didn't ask direction. We felt that it was less than a man or less than a leader to ask for help. So we didn't recognize that. But even in us, as long as we get the right information, regardless of if we didn't get it ourselves or think of it ourselves, it still does not disqualify us being the leaders. And so when it came down to what you mentioned about how the dad was away 24 hours, I thought about the wrestler. Talk about the wrestler Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes was away from his family, and he did whatever he could, you know, the right way. He was working, but he was away from his children. And even though he did not do, even though he was not in the home, but the mother helped the children. Even when you look at Denzel Washington, Denzel Washington is still with his wife, but he said even though he was bringing money into the home, the children were fed and nurtured by mother.
Ooh,
and
that's
also
powerful. Yes.
And also what caught my attention, the little story spoke about my daddy earlier, how much I loved him and appreciate him. You know, this was before my mom and dad got a divorce. I always wanted to be around my daddy. It didn't matter what my daddy was doing or where he was going, I wanted to be with him. So he was working a lot, and he actually had when he would get off work, he would go in the backyard and wail. He would do some wailing. And he told me, make sure that my little brother didn't go to the backyard because he was still leaving the welding equipment out. And he don't want my son to get electrocuted because there was a lot of wires that were out. So one Saturday, I called my daddy and told him that my little brother went outside and fell and bust his lip, tripping over the welding material. And I paid my little brother in the background to cry, act like he was crying. And my daddy flew home, drove home fast. And when he got home, he realized that I had lied. And he asked me, why did you lie? I said, Dad, I just wanted you home so I can ask you for $10. It wasn't so much of me needing the $10. It was that I wanted my daddy home. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, he did spank me. Now, my daddy was the type that you would rather him to whoop you than to talk to you, because my dad had that kind of relationship with us where, you know, he could just talk to you and it just break you down. You know, he never was a whooper. If you got a whooping from my daddy, you did something that was just totally illegal, you know. But when he whooped me, and I totally understood why. And after he got done, he said, son, please don't do that no more. He said, I worried about, you know, my brother and all that stuff. But he said, look, he said, here's $10. I said, Daddy, I said, I thank you, but I really didn't want the $10. I wanted you. And that stuck with him and that stuck with me. And so that's the reason why you never know what type of impact that a father has on his child. So no matter what, my friend told me that his child at 6 years old, my friend was finna get ready to go to work. He said, Daddy, can you spend 5 minutes with me before you go to work? Can you play with me for 5 minutes? And you think about it, to a 6-year-old kid, what is 5 minutes? 5 minutes ain't the adult 5 minutes on the clock. 5 minutes could be 45 minutes, an hour. But they just wanted some time with Daddy. That doesn't mean that they have to go in the world or do anything, but just being in Daddy's presence and being active, you know, that means a lot. So I just
yes,
had to
that does. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did because it's important. It's important. I've got to think of that in my own life when I was raising my sons and daughter, I was working a lot. And some stuff that I may have missed, I tried to lay a good foundation, but you can only do so much when you're away from home. It's important for us to be there. But you know what? I thank God. God give us a redo. He give us grandkids.
Yeah.
Man, you know?
Yeah.
I may not have raised my son and daughter right. I may have did the best I could. But then he gave you a grandson. Yeah. And you know what? With grandkids,
exactly.
You'll be more patient. You have more understanding, and you laugh at the things that they do, and you say, yeah, I understand. And I realize my grandson, he's getting older now. He's getting to the point that he's driving. He's 17 years old. And so now when I was 17, I done some things. So he just tells me about some things he do, and I'm glad he tell me about some little anecdotes and little things that some of his friends do. And I said, well, you know, son, you know, this is a writer. You can be dangerous, and you ain't got to follow everybody. I don't condemn him, but I try to let him see that, yeah, you're going to do these things, but think about it. Think about the consequences, and you have the and you have the freedom to walk away. If you're in a mall and the kids are acting up, say, hey, I'm going to go on this side, and I'll just meet y'all later. You leave them. Don't tell them you ain't going to see them no more. Just say, hey, I'll be back. And you go on and do your thing, because you can't control what nobody do. I have this slogan to say, help change a life. But a lot of people are thinking that I'm not doing nothing. This is God doing it. But he called us as a servant, as disciple, to go out and tell somebody about it. He said, hey, you're going to do more things than I ever done. Because his ministry was only short-term ministry, you know. He going to send the Holy Spirit to do the rest of the work. So sometimes we get it twisted when we say, help change a life. But you're doing it in Jesus' name. Because I can't do nothing. I just show up. And Jesus show out.
Right.
You know, so, but I wanted to share that with you. And I also have a little audio clip I want to play here in just a few minutes to let you catch your breath. It's about what we're going to. It's about our topic today about fatherhood. This is something I heard on the internet. I said, wow, this is what we need here. This is addressing the issues, man, because it's hard being a man. I'm telling you, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because we don't – don't have a good foundation as we become an adult and realize this thing. These women, they've been doing what they do for years. They grew up playing with dolls. They grew up with a little kitchen world, you know, but we grew up just being tough. Don't let nobody push you around. Don't cry. You know, don't show your feelings. So when you catch people sitting there, they happy and content, but they looking angry. And just the way I look, I'm okay. Why you looking like that? You know, that's what we're supposed to do. You got to look hard. And so, Brother Prater, we're going to stop here for a few minutes. We're going to play this audio clip, and I'm going to be right back with you, okay?
Okay, yes, sir.
But have you ever asked yourself, where are Grandpapa and Big Papa and Uncle Willie? Where, what happened to Cousin Jane? What is wrong with our generation that there are few old men left? That means we have few compasses to chart course and to lead us through the maze of trying to get to our destination on time. We have many men who model to us how to get started, but few that live long enough to show us how to finish. Show us how to make it through the different ages and stages of life, because the challenges of a 20-year-old is far different from the challenges of a 50-year-old, is far different from the challenges of a 70-year-old, and you need somebody who's been there to coach you through the process and look you in the mirror and say, keep coming, boy, don't give up now. I know you lost your job, but keep on coming. Keep on, you can do this. Don't give up. Come on, boy. Come on. Come on. I know your feelings is hurt. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. No, you're not going to be able to do what you used to do 20 years ago. You're not supposed to. You're going to have to readjust and develop a new normal. Come on, come on, come on. If you come on, you're going to get through this. Don't give up. Don't follow her. Don't follow her. She's not the answer. She's a trick. Keep coming this way. We don't. I'm going to talk to you tonight. See, you and Big Mama can sit around while y'all picking collard greens, and you can talk to her and she can tell you something. And there's an old woman standing on every corner full of advice ready to tell you, girl, well, this is what you ought to do. But we have few followers, few voices, few compasses, few teachers, few leaders, few guides to speak to us in the process. And that is why we get lost in the journey of becoming what we were created to be. We get lost in the process. Some as early as 15 and 16 years old get lost in the maze of masculinity. Some make it to 30 and collapse up under a bush of despair. Some are getting to the middle of their lives, changing their sexual orientation, giving up on women altogether, going after men. And you can't figure out why it is. There's nobody coaching us saying, not that way, go this way. Come on, go this way, go this way. Man, some men are not articulate enough to say it. Some are not thoughtful enough to speak it, and most are too private to admit it. But it is real hard to be a man. I want to make one comment about understanding men, and I think it is very, very important. Most women in our society were raised in homes where there either was no father, or he was a workaholic, or he was a silent person. So the man becomes, the male persona becomes a mystery in the woman's life. Because he is a mystery, we always crave not what we got, we crave what we didn't get. So in that craving need, because you were designed to have certain levels of fulfillment through relationship. We are sociological species. There is such an admiration that it leads to promiscuity, it leads to vulnerability, it leads to a lot of things. You can get a man easier than you can keep one, and this is why. One, you have been trained, when you get him, you don't understand him because you think he is another kind of woman.
Yes.
You talk to him like he is your sister. You handle him like he is a woman wearing a suit. And you are expecting him to love you in the language that a woman loves you. And that is not how we communicate. That is not how we communicate.
That is so true. You are listening to Free on the Inside, weekly internet program to encourage you to be strong in the Lord. We have our guest on the line this morning here, Brother Prater, Brother Prater is the author of a book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. We have our co-host on the line, Brother Daniel. This show is sponsored by Granny Place Ministry, a nonprofit ministry to meet the needs of our young men and women at risk. You too could be a part of this show by calling the number 310-982-4126. You have just heard a little short audio clip of T.D. Jakes for talking about fatherhood. And today, we're addressing that issue here. We're addressing that issue because, let's face it, it's hard being a man. Let's face it, it's hard dealing with our fathers. It's hard dealing with our sons. But yet, God is still in charge. He's our Heavenly Father, and He honor us, and he want us to be the man in which He called us to be. Brother Prater.
Yes, sir.
Thank you once again. You just heard a portion of that audio clip there from T.D. Jakes, man. And I was just thinking about it. He said it was hard to be a man. That's something we don't want to admit. Oh, I got this. Do you know what you're doing, bro? You know you've been in and out of jail. I got this. You know you're addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
I got this. It's hard. Because we don't want to see, we have nobody. When I'm having a problem, Brother Frank, I ain't got nobody to talk to. When I'm having a problem with my sons and grandsons, I can't talk to you because I got this wild up. You know, women well dress each other. They're talking on the phone all night. I'm talking to my girlfriend. She got a problem.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, baby. What about you? Well, I'm working with her, you know. Even though they have their own set of problems, they'll still address other people's problems. We won't do that, you know.
No, I remember
when we was younger.
No.
Me and Brother Daniel, we grew up together, and when we had a problem, we would go to the bar, you know, and we'd go get a drink somewhere.
Uh-huh.
That's the way we solved our problem. We medicate ourselves, and guess what? That makes the problem even greater, because now we're drunk with a problem. Worst thing in the world could be addicted and have a problem.
and you know, what people don't realize, if you look at even like in the military, before somebody go to war, they always train them. But also when you see other countries, they train these kids about weapon, defensive mechanism, offensive mechanism, basic training. They teach them basic training so that way when wartime comes, they equipped, they can handle it. But when it comes down to basic training as a man, basic training as a father, we omit that. Very few men have gone through a quote-unquote basic training to be able to be the man that God called for them to be the father God called for them to be. And ultimately, our trainer is God Almighty. And God has dispatched people to help us along the way. You know, I met you in my life, and somebody, you might be able to feed me to a point. And then God may send someone else, like the quote-unquote stepfather or step-up father, to help me to be trained in certain areas. So when it is my time for wartime, covering the home, being a husband, being a father, being a grandfather, I'm equipped to be able to take care and protect my family, not just to protect, but to minister, to love, to show, not just pulling out the Bible and thus says the Lord. No. Demonstrate it, showing in love. That's the key thing that we miss. We don't know how to relate or to communicate with people in love. And I was looking at TV the other day. I was looking at how back in the day when I was growing up, look at the fathers. They had James Evans from Good Time. The show Make Room for Daddy, My Three Sons. All these fathers took the charge to raise their children, to protect their children, to protect their family. But now, very few shows have fathers in the home, and some of them that I've seen so far are crazy movies. They gear us from connecting with our family, being a provider, being the head of the family. The main character these days and time on some of these shows, loudmouth, disrespectful kids. But the focus needs to be back on daddy so he can show them who their spiritual daddy really is.
Oh, that is so true. Hey, Brother Frank, you know what you said some while ago, and I got to thinking sometimes, you know, we feel like that we ill-equipped for this thing they call fatherhood.
Right.
We feel like that
we're
just going to make a mistake in advice and encouraging or just whatever it may be. But I learned that the battle is not mine. It belongs to the God. I learned that I don't have to know everything. If any man like wisdom, let him ask it of God. And God will go answer you. He gonna send people in your life to help you navigate and help you understand what's going on. And I recall that, you know, when my child and my sons were born and my daughter, the first face they see besides the doctor was their mother, because I did not understand, based on just where I grew up, that I didn't need to be in the delivery room. When I grew up, the men went in the delivery room. We sit outside and we waited and we went off and done our thing and come back and there's a baby, you know. And so the women had that attachment to the kid, because that's the first phase they recognize. Because mothers are holding the baby, do visit out when they feeding them. We off, we go back, we see the baby. Oh, you know, then we leave it. And they had that attachment. And as we start doing that, we miss out on that opportunity to raise that child, to nourish that child. And as they become into an adulthood, we still miss out on that opportunity, because we no longer with that child. We're doing something else, but we're still obligated to be with them. And I'm saying that to say this, that even though we may not have been there, we may have missed the mark, that still don't disqualify us as being a father. Because my dad wasn't there to raise me up. It didn't disqualify him. And I have to know that he still deserved the respect and honor that I can only give him. Now, he got to face God with all those other things, but I can't go through life mad. And that's what I share with men this time of year about Joseph and Jesus and God. They need to realize. Now, put it this way. I said Joseph, Jesus, and God. Because we realized that Joseph had a challenge. God called him to do something that was uncomfortable for him, something that was scary, something that was out of the norm. Take this woman. Take this woman to be your wife. She's going to have a baby. And then we face women that have kids. Man, I ain't going to marry that woman. She got too much baggage. I ain't going to take on this. She got too much baggage. But if God give you an insight on that and give you the grace to endure that, surely he'll give you what you need. And I like your book, how it addresses every aspect of relationship with the men and the wife and the son, and how you put some things in place, the purpose of a man, being a step-up father, or being doing things honorable to God. It's all addressed in your book, girl. And so I wanted to share that there, because at this time of year, men are scared. You know, men, you ask men about the dad, I don't know what to say. Just said it. He had a dad, he taught you how to play baseball. He made you who you are. We know that dad ain't around, but I remember my dad. He didn't. He wasn't the best dad in the world. He had his own set of issues. But I remember he bought me a baseball glove, and I was so proud of that glove. I played baseball, Little League hardball, and I made it to the World Series. We beat every team in our league, and then I was called to go to the All-Star game. And my dad and mom, they never did come to any of my games, and I was a fantastic player, man. I played all over the field. Mom and dad showed up, and I was nervous. I struck out. I ain't never struck out before. I was so proud of them being there that I couldn't concentrate. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow. Now, you know, I think I let my dad know. He said, son, don't worry about it. He said, there's many more games to play. And some games you're going to win, some games you're going to lose. And I'll never forget that. And so even today, when I mess up, I don't worry about that. And I said, I'm going to have another opportunity. On this program, I'm going to have another week to do this. In ministry, I'm going to have another opportunity to do this. In relationship, I'm going to have another opportunity. And so that's what we have to encourage our men. Yes, you may have dropped the ball, but you're going to have many more opportunities to pick it up and to be successful on the field of life.
Yes, and just because they're a father, that does not mean that they know everything. But looking at it like this, even if, like you said, even if they weren't the best father, sometimes it takes a great son to help that okay father to become a great father. So just like how father was important to us, God has blessed us to be able to even impart into our fathers. So to be honest with you, they hurt too. And what happens? What happens if they're hurt? Can their seed feed them? Yes, we can. Ooh. So if we can, no matter how your father was, first of all, forgive him. He might have done the best he could with the little that he knew. But if you look at his upbringing when he was a child, that'll help us to understand to have the same grace, same compassion, and be able to help him, because to be honest with you, he might be a father to us. He might be a grown man in the physical, but he might be an emotional kid on the inside. So
oh,
that's
that
why your
so
soul free on the inside is so important. Feed them on the inside, yes.
Oh, that is so true. I tell you what, we have a call on the line here. It's a good friend of mine, Brother Willie Burks. Willie is very instrumental in the ministry. He supports what we do down at the jail ministry. Good morning to Brother Willie. You're on the net.
Good morning. How you doing today?
How you doing? I know you said you didn't have nothing to say, but I did not want this time to go by, brother. I feel like every time I do something, I want you to be a part of, brother. Because you were, you know what? You wouldn't allow me to do what I do, brother, by supporting me and encouraging me, brother. Because sometimes I'm down in the dumps, and then all of a sudden you give me a call, and it lifts my spirits, brother. And so thank you for calling. You know, Brother Willie, today is our Father's Day program, but it's a challenge, man, because we might not have had a good relationship with our father, but yet we still here. Oh, that's awesome, ain't it? It's still here.
Yes, it is.
And you know, now you're
yes,
a father.
Yes, yes.
Now, tell me, have you always done the right thing with your kids?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You done the best you could, right?
With what I had at the time, yes, sir.
Yeah, because they were challenged for you.
The,
you know, and so that's something we have to understand. So tell us something here that encourage other men on this eve of Father's Day.
Well, I just say that I have listened to Brother Prater. Are you doing okay, brother? Brother Prater?
Doing awesome. How about yourself, sir?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Yes, I definitely, when we was at the men's conference last month, I was intending to get one of the books, so I'm going to come over there to the church and come over there probably Sunday or next Sunday or two and meet you over there at the church over there. You're still over there. And get me a book, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. But just to go and answer the question that was asked, I think that we look at society, kind of paint a picture that it's got to be this perfect road map, navigation map to raising, to being a father or fatherhood, man. But I think that if we just allow God to order our steps, you know, and because he said in his word, the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. So if we would just allow God to order our steps, man, he would give us all the tools and things that we need to accommodate whatever situation we may deal with in life, you know, because a lot of times, man, we make mistakes and we have so many pitfalls and ups and downs as men, period. And less known a father and a husband. And so that burden, that weight is more so even heavier upon us, you know, because we have even not all my kids are grown, but still, you know, you have to have that sense because you're going to be a parent forever. And God, once you have a child, you're going to be a parent forever. That's forever. You never stop being a parent. But I think what it is that we allow ourselves to get caught up in the system to where, you know, and I tell my kids all the time, you know, a society says, you know, to you when you're 18 years old, you're free. And technically, it's nothing I can do. I have no more control or say-so over what you do with your life. But I believe that the never-ending parenthood, especially we're talking about fatherhood now, and still, even though, you know, the part of me actually taking care of being so solely responsible of taking care of the child may be over at 18, but still, our job as a father is to assist our children to help them become what God has called them to be, you know, and, matter of fact, I was talking last night, and I'm going to close, you know, to get you a chance to say something, Mr. Lewis. But it was a question rendered to me last night. I was at work getting ready to get off, and saying, guy, one of my coworkers said, hey, man, do you think it's meant for us to live for our children and that's it, I say, well, you know, we live for God. God is what God, we serve God. That was the only purpose of being here, serving God. But God gave us a task to me. He said, hey, everything that I made, he gave man the order to oversee it. And see, and that means that that goes from everything from the, when he told Adam originally, from naming the animals to making sure everything else, you know, and even being a husband and a father and all this here, it comes into play because he gave us woman. Now, you see, it's not good for man to be alone. And see, and all this stuff comes into play. So that's why I was listening to you, Mr. Lewis, man. It, our job is very hard, man, because we are responsible for so much stuff and so many things that we are responsible for is that it becomes overwhelming sometimes.
But it does,
if we would just continue to allow God and trust in God and then making sure that, you know, the wisdom that you was talking about, if we would allow God to bring people in our life, just like, you know, me and your friendship, you know, so iron sharpens iron, so is the brother sharpen the contents of one another. You know, it's one of my favorite scriptures, you know. And so the thing of it is that if we just would allow God to come in and take control and not be afraid, as y'all was talking about a few minutes ago, not being afraid to ask questions and saying, okay, I'm not familiar with this area of my life. I'm not, you know, Lord, help me to make the wise decision I need to make during this time.
Amen.
Of making decisions or whatever it is. And if we would just allow God to do that, and then when he sends someone, not be afraid to talk about it, we'll find ourselves a lot further ahead, and we will find ourselves more in the answer department instead of the problem need to be able to solve department all the time. Because we as men sometimes, and as fathers, what we do is we go through life, and, man, we have so many questions that is unanswered in our life. And then when we have children, it carries on to them. And then what happens is that, you know, I've learned. Man, it's all right to be inspired by other men.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Brother Willie, I need to bring my guest on right quick. We got to get out of here.
Okay.
Brother, I like that line of thought, though, brother. I wish we could have got you in here earlier, see? But I'll be here next week, okay, with another great guest. Another great topic, but we're going to let our guests close it out. But again, Brother Willie, thank you very much, and happy early Father's Day to you and your family. We pray that you have a great day, and you keep doing what you do for the Lord, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
Yeah. All right, just hold on. We're going to pray our guests in. Amen. Brother Prater, we get ready to get on out of here. We want to thank you for what you're doing. We want to thank you for your book that you put together, your manual guide for survival. As we get ready to close out, give us words of encouragement. Encourage these men to stay on the battlefield. Encourage these men to stay on the path of godly fatherhood.
I want to encourage your fathers, number one, realize that what you're doing is not in vain. Knowing that not only God sees you, God appreciates you, but also realize even if it's not your biological children, there are other people that are watching you. There are other people that you may not even see, you may not even hear about, but they're watching you, they're emulating you. And two groups I want to have a special prayer for is the stepfathers, the step-up fathers, but also those biological fathers who are unattached, who are detached from their children, for regardless of whatever situations. Maybe baby mama drama, might be the baby mother keeping them isolated from their biological father. I'm praying for you all. Sometimes they feel like, what's the use of even paying child support when I can't even see my child?
Ooh,
no matter what situation come up, make sure at all times we do the right thing. And when we do the right thing, they give God access to come in and fight for us. Weeping may endure but a night, but joy comes in the morning. So no matter what it looked like, no matter what the law, no matter what your attorney said, number one, you remember what God said. And when you do what God has you to do, when you put it in the hands of God, God will make your enemies be at peace with you. God will give you favor with people that don't even know you, that will help you. I've seen it so many times before in my own life, pertaining to the fathers who had their children mother ran away with their children, and she said, you'll never see your child again. But guess what? At the end of the day, their father has custody of their child.
Oh, God is God.
So
God,
no matter what
out.
It looked like, yes. So I want to encourage you all, no matter what it looked like, you put it in the hands of God, and you find scripture pertaining to everything that God promised you. And you keep doing, you keep feeding yourself, sending yourself around people that's going to feed you spiritually and emotionally. Don't doubt yourself. You speak encouragement even to your own self in your own situation. Say it out loud.
And, Brother Prater, before we get you out of here, brother, you do a Blog Talk Radio program also. Please share that with us and tell us what we can do to continue to be encouraged by what your gift is in the Lord.
Yes. My podcast is called, it's on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart. Reconnect my heart, and we talk about life issues that may have broken or torn our heart apart, and we talk about, through God's word, how to have our hearts back reconnected to the way that he originally made us. Also, for those who want to follow me or keep in contact with me, you're welcome to contact me on Facebook, Brother, spelled out Brother Prater, P-R-A-T-E-R. And on there also, you're welcome to contact me. My number is 214-908-3056. On Facebook, I write daily devotions, and I put videos up. And also, you're welcome to call me. For those who are interested in purchasing my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood, and it's not just for men, but it's for ladies too. And you're welcome for this. For this season, I want to have a special price because I want to make sure that it's in as many people's hands as possible to advance God's kingdom, but help us as men and women and as husband and wife to get our hearts, get our family back to the way that he originally made us.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. So we encourage you to log on to Blog Talk, Reconnect Our Heart for Brother Prater. And what time is that come on there, brother?
It comes on Sundays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Sundays at 8
right,
p.m.
That sounds good.
Central Standard Time.
Oh, okay, great. God bless you. Brother Prater, we got to get out here. I try to be timely because I really honor my guests and all our listening audience. I don't want to keep anybody hostage, you know, as we say. But, again, thank you very much. And we pray that you have a blessed Father's Day weekend, and keep doing what you do for the Lord. You encourage me every time I see you, and I know that your word, and even if you never say a word, it's encouraging other men to be strong in the Lord. We have our co-hosts on the line that are waiting patiently. We'll let him have the last words, and then we'll get out of here. Brother Daniel.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brother Daniel. We're about ready to get on out of here, but we'll never leave without giving you the last words.
Yes, indeed. Okay, I like to encourage Brother Prater for writing this book because we need more authors like you and helping the family, you know, especially the black family. We need to try to address the youth in America and the Dallas and everywhere because they need some role models, and we don't have too many role models around here around there. We see a lot of people on TV talking a lot of noise, but I see nobody doing nothing, so we need some more active people. Amen.
All right, that sounds good, Daniel. That sounds good, Brother Daniel. Thank you very much, Brother Prater. Thank you. And we're going to continue to petition heaven for favor. We'll do for favor as we get ready to go out of here. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to close out on this audio clip about T.D. Jackson talking about a man. I never thought about it. It's hard being a man, Brother Prater. You know, I got challenges each and every day, and to the point that some guys, they start hiding out. They go to caves, and then they turn it. They want to change their sexual orientation because they hard. They scared. They scared, and they want to keep staying there with mama. But as I Carla stated earlier, when you're 18 years old, you consider to be an adult. You consider to have your own free will. But yet some men are 38, 48, 58 and still looking to mama. You know, I see instances some guys are tired and hollering, mama, mama, mama. They 50 years old. Mama can't even be there to help them anymore. But they still looking for mama because we have not made that transition from a child to an adult. And so we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to listen to a portion of this audio clip. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for our guest this morning, Brother Prater. We thank you for his gift, and dear Lord, we thank you for his insight, dear Lord, how he's encouraging men through the word of God to be strong in the power of God. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this gift of fatherhood, dear Lord. It's a gift. How you gave your son to a dying world, dear Lord, and he went about doing all manner of good. Teach us to do good, Lord. Sometimes we don't understand the precepts and principles of this thing, Lord, but teach us, dear Lord. Your word says, if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God. Dear Lord, bring back to our remembrance the good things, the noble things of our parents, dear Lord, how our father taught us, dear Lord, how to use tools, how to interact with people, how to come to him, dear Lord, when we had problems. Even when we had problems in relationships, dear Lord, we could call them dad. Dear Lord, bring back those things. Sometimes dad didn't quite know how to express himself. But as stated earlier, he done the best he could. Dear Lord, we have sons and daughters. Sometimes we may not express ourselves right, but teach them, dear Lord. Teach them that what we're telling them is true and is self, and that God is always in the midst of things that's going on in their life. Dear Lord, we ask you to watch over all our listeners this morning, dear Lord. Allow our listeners to draw strength and encouragement from these type programs. We thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You'll listen to another great episode of Free on the Inside, a weekly alert program on each every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. Our guest this morning was Brother Prater, the author of A Few Good Men, A Path to Father, to Godly Fatherhood. Be blessed and be strong in the Lord.
But have you ever asked yourself, where are Grandpapa and Big Papa and Uncle Willie? Where, what happened to Cousin James? What is wrong with our generation that there are few old men left? That means we have few compasses to chart course and to lead us through the maze of trying to get to our destination on time. We have many men who model to us how to get started, but few that live long enough to show us how to finish. Show us how to make it through the different ages and stages of life, because the challenges of a 20-year-old is far different from the challenges of a 50-year-old, is far different from the challenges of a 70-year-old, and you need somebody who's been there to coach you through the process and look you in the mirror and say, keep coming, boy, don't give up now. I know you lost your job, but keep on coming. Keep on, you can do this. Don't give up. Come on, boy. Come on. Come on. I know your feelings is hurt. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, dog. You're not going to be able to do what you used to do 20 years ago. You're not supposed to. You will have to readjust and develop a new normal. Come on, come on, come on. If you come on, you're going to get through this. Don't give up. Don't follow her. Don't follow her. She's not the answer. She's a trick. Keep coming this way. We don't. I'm going to talk to you tonight. See, you and Big Mama can sit around while y'all picking collard greens, and you can talk to her and she can tell you something. And there's an old woman standing on every corner full of advice ready to tell you, girl, well, this is what you ought to do. But we have few fathers, few voices, few compasses, few teachers, few leaders, few guides to speak to us in the process. And that is why we get lost in the journey of becoming what we were created to be. We get lost in the process. Some as early as 15 and 16 years old get lost in the maze of masculinity. Some make it to 30 and collapse up under a bush of despair. Some are getting to the middle of their lives, changing their sexual orientation, giving up on women altogether, going after men. And you can't figure out why it is. There's nobody coaching us saying, not that way. Go this way. Come on, go this way. Go this way. Man, some men are not articulate enough to say it. Some are not thoughtful enough to speak it. And most are too private to admit it. But it is real hard to be a man. I want to make one comment about understanding men. And I think it is very, very important. Most women in our society were raised in homes where there either was no father, or he was a workaholic, yeah, or he was a silent person. So the man becomes, the male persona becomes a mystery in the woman's life. Because he is a mystery, we always crave not what we got, we crave what we didn't get. So in that craving craving need, that craving need, because you were designed to have certain levels of fulfillment through relationship. We are sociological species. There is such an admiration that it leads to promiscuity, it leads to vulnerability, it leads to a lot of things. You can get a man easier than you can keep one, and this is why. One, you have been trained, when you get him, you don't understand him because you think he is another kind of woman.
Yes.
You talk to him like he is your sister. You handle him like he is a woman wearing a suit. And you are expecting him to love you in the language that a woman loves you. And that is not how we communicate. That is not how we communicate. You think that because we love differently, we don't love equally.
Wow.
Different does not mean lesser than. We are made to be different. We are not just different biologically. We are different psychologically. We are different emotionally. And what has to happen, there has to come a healing and a deeper understanding so that we become bilingual in